Hi there, I'm Juliet Nichols, founder and director of Pineapple Audio Production, and you're listening to the Podcasting Playbook. We're really lucky to be supported by some incredible businesses at Pineapple. So I just want to take a minute here to thank Leo Bites, who make incredible raw freeze-dried crisps. You've got to try the strawberry ones, they are amazing. And Audioboom, one of the leading podcast publishers who help get your podcast to Apple, Spotify, and the rest. We use them for tons of our content distribution, so we are big, big fans. On today's episode, we are so excited to have Jade English with us. Jade is a presenter and content producer who's previously worked on podcasts such as The Apprentice Qualified, Finding Feel Good, and Love Island with Pineapple. She's a regular on BBC Radio Manchester and has worked for one of the top radio stations in Australia, as well as running her own internal comms podcast company. So, Jade, we met just after you were on The Apprentice, and we've been firm friends and worked together on a couple of different projects since then. So do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we will get on to today's topics?
If I had to describe my career in three words, that's tricky. The first one that comes to mind is eclectic. I feel like my career has taken a few sidesteps, which I didn't necessarily think would happen, but I'm really glad that it did. And like, look, it's only when looking back you can see that everything was actually connected, even if it didn't necessarily seem it at the time. A second word I would say, creative. I absolutely need to be creative in anything that I'm doing, whether that's, you know, creating content for a podcast, or if it's, you know, coming up with storylines. And just, I think one thing that I've absolutely loved about working with Jules is I think we've both got that creativeness within us. I tend to be a little bit more blur with my ideas. That's the best way I could describe it, where I have a million ideas, but I'm not particularly good at structuring them. Whereas Jules is great at being like, right, okay, this is a great idea that you've got. So is this. Let's pull them all together. And I think that's one thing that has really actually made Pineapple such a great company to work for, really, because work for and work with, I've been lucky enough to do both. You know, without that structure, it's all very good having ideas, but if you haven't got someone to actually funnel you into the right direction, then they don't come off.
We are a bit yin and yang in that way, and it really does work, doesn't it? We found the ways over the years that we've known each other now to balance. It's great.
100%. It's so weird because I think on paper, realistically, our relationship shouldn't work because, you know, we do work very, very differently. But I actually think that yin and yang, you know, I pull you out in different ways and you definitely pull me back as well and keep me in line. And it is really good, isn't it? But I think if two people were to see us separately, they might think absolutely no chance that's going to work.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, and give us a third word then.
Maybe you could help me with the third word.
I feel like there's got to be something eclectic is kind of it, but something in there about having like a global view, because a big part of your career and your life, which are definitely kind of intermingled, aren't they, is that travel aspect.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it necessarily would be a word that would first spring to mind, but that freedom element, I think, is so important to me. And I think actually that is one thing that when I look at my career has been the thread that pulls it all together. So, you know, when we do podcasting, the great thing about it is it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can jump on your laptop. For example, right now I'm in Bali, you're in Saudi. I think that's another great thing. And again, probably a thread that connects you and I together.
Definitely that sense of freedom and needing freedom. So let's pinpoint some of the bits of your career, because I've outlined them, but you've done some really amazing things. And I'm not just talking about with Pineapple now, but, you know, previous to that, let's go back a little bit to where you started. You always had big aspirations in your career and you wanted to go different places, but to start with, you were working in Manchester, weren't you?
So at university I studied journalism, and I always wanted to do presenting, producing, that sort of thing. But as with, you know, many people starting out, when I first went into the working world, I first of all went to Australia, I traveled around, I got the travel bug, and then I came back and I was like, right, I need to settle down now. I need to get a career. But you can't get a job without experience, and you can't get experience without a job. So I was just typing into all these job searches, like media, media this, media that, trying to find anything. I actually ended up landing a media job at a agency in Manchester. So I ended up going in and being a PR assistant. So at the time, it was quite a different landscape because social media was only really just taking off. So it was all about magazines, making sure you got featured in newspapers, and you were starting to see like this influencer world. And that was great because you just, you know, I got to run events. So I worked with Holland and Barrett, which was just an amazing company to work for. And we were starting to really see this sort of influencer marketing. However, there were aspects of it that I'm not very good at, just, you know, sitting down in front of a computer.
That's the opposite of freedom, really, isn't it?
Exactly. So I ended up moving roles a couple of years in, and I got headhunted to go and be a content manager, jumping from an assistant. So I'd like climbed the career ladder really quickly, and I was getting paid a lot more, but I don't know, there was still part of me that's like, oh, there's a little niggle that this just isn't the right thing. And I ended up applying for BBC The Apprentice, the business reality show, and obviously didn't expect to get on there, but then I did, and ended up being on there like pretty much until this semi-final. So I did really, really well. So after that, I'd sort of like go and do loads of radio shows, loads of podcasts. And I actually ended up doing a panel show where I ended up talking at this International Women's Day at Global Radio, which is where I met Jules. So, well, met you. Yeah. And then just from there, really, I just ended up doing more and more podcasts. We ended up doing The Apprentice Qualified, our own series. And I just ended up doing loads of stuff with BBC Radio Manchester, BBC Radio London. And I finally sort of got that door into the world that I always wanted to get into, really. And I started doing loads of radio, podcasts, producing, presenting. And then, well, I'd had this idea for a while to do a podcast about alternative therapies. And then obviously you and I met, Jules, and being the yin to my yang, you structured my ideas, and then we got it signed off, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that a little bit if you want to, because that's definitely one of the things I think has been quite fundamental to like our working relationship, is bringing that together. And it was possibly, you know, if you had to pinpoint a challenge as well as like something that has been amazing and was an incredible experience, that probably would be it, right? Bringing that together was quite a challenge in a lot of ways.
Oh my God. Yeah, definitely. And we became so obsessed with it. Like, do you not remember? We literally were texting, WhatsApping, calling about all day, every day, weren't we? I'd wake up in the middle of the night and be like, oh, I've had this idea, let's do this. And, you know, this amazing podcast that we'd decided to do, and then managed to get funding for it, you know, working out all the logistics in a foreign country during a pandemic, it was definitely challenging. But I think it was incredible. I think it's the best project I've ever done, really.
Yeah, I think there's only a few times in my career, and possibly you could say the same, when it's become that level of obsessive. We really were like sleeping, eating, like it was our entire life. And it probably did help that there was a pandemic and we were locked down, because it gave us that, it was a focus for us, right? It was a, you know, and the challenge was, how do we do this during a pandemic? How do we get to Bali? And let's talk about the premise, because people might not know about Finding Feel Good. So tell us a little bit about it, Jade.
Sure. So Finding Feel Good is all about following my journey of discovering alternative therapies and how they can help me live a healthier and happier life. It was a bit of a different structure that we decided to do in the end, wasn't it? So obviously, because it was during a pandemic, we were trying to wait for the borders to open back up for us to go to Bali. So we decided that initially we would meet up, well, virtually meet up with people in the UK to find out about sound healing, to find out about cacao ceremonies, all these weird and wonderful hacks that you can do to make yourself feel good. And then once the borders opened back up, we traveled to Bali to test them out in real time. So it was just, I just think that was so, I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Actually, just thinking back on it now, I'm like, oh, wow, that's really clever that we did that. I don't, I don't feel like I've reflected on it quite how amazing it was.
It was, it really was amazing. And it was a big, I think a big challenge for us figuring out how we work together. We'd worked on The Apprentice Qualified, hadn't we? That podcast before with a great producer called Sam Bonham. We put that together almost as soon as you and I got to know each other, didn't we? So we had an idea of how we worked together, but then to throw ourselves into, yeah, all the stuff that we did in the UK, prepping, speaking to people virtually, and then spending a month in Bali, you know, basically dragging our recording kit around the island, talking to as many people as we could. And, you know, a month sounds like a long time, but actually it was packed. Like we did a lot in that time. We spoke to a lot of amazing people. You spoke to a lot of amazing people. I stood there and tried my best to record it without laughing or you know,
feeling a bit
being overwhelmed by the emotion of the moment, depending on who we were speaking to. And it's definitely a proud project for me, and I know it is for you. Let's think about some of the other moments in your career that might have been like as obsessive or got you in that creative flow similarly. One that stands out for me, I'm thinking about when you went to Australia, you know, and you, not the first time, but the second time you went to Australia, and you threw yourself into life there again, didn't you?
Yes. So, well, again, I feel like all my stories start with Bali, but I had decided to move back to Australia. And on the way through, I went to Bali and I'd already been, you know, fully in flow doing podcasting because I'd set up my own company doing internal comms podcasting whilst I was back in the UK. And so from that moment, I went to Bali and I did a podcast with somebody that I met in, I can't even remember how I met them now, at dinner somewhere. I'd met someone over dinner and we ended up doing a podcast together. And I was like, right, I'm moving to Australia and I want to work in radio still. That's my background. Like what, you know, what stations would you recommend really? Because I didn't really know much about the Australian landscape. And this girl was like, oh, you know what? I can put you in touch with some guy, if you want, called Grant. He works at the radio station in Melbourne. I was like, okay, great. Sounds good. So I dropped this guy an email saying, hi, like I'm moving to Australia. Like my background is in PR and in podcasting. Do you have any jobs? Long story short, I get to Australia, I meet up with the guy and I was like, oh, you know, this girl that I met in Bali. He's like, I've never heard of her before in my life. I was like, oh, well, lucky she's heard of you. And hi, I'm here for a job. And long story short, I ended up heading up the PR for the equivalent of BBC Sounds out there. So it's called Podcast One. They've just changed the name to Listener. And also doing the internal comms for all of the major radio stations out there. So Triple M, Hit. And I landed that job and it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. It was just such an amazing job. And just so bizarre that they were looking for somebody in that exact position. It was like it had literally been made for me. I was supposed to get sponsored and then stay in Australia permanently through that company. But then COVID hit. And I always remember, like, I'd put my application in to get sponsored to live in Australia. So that's where the company that you work for likes what you're doing. Well, really likes what you're doing because they have to pay an absolute fortune to make you stay there. And I remember someone saying to me, oh, you know, this thing COVID that we've heard about, like, apparently it's like going to get bad. And I remember like being like, oh, well, I'm going to go back to England for a couple of weeks and then come back. And I remember this lawyer that I was speaking to try and get this visa. He said, I think if you leave, you won't be able to get back in. And I was like, ha ha ha, imagine that won't ever happen. Like that sounds like, that sounds like a parallel, like a completely different universe even. And anyway, my flight got cancelled. It turns out you really couldn't leave the country. And then they couldn't sponsor me anymore because they had to cut everybody's salary by like a significant percentage. And they stopped spending. They had to make people redundant. I mean, you remember what it was like. after a couple of months of not of all my flights getting cancelled, the government put on special flight for British nationals to be able to get home. So I got home. Obviously, being a busybody, I couldn't just sit and not do a lot of my time. So that is when the pitch of Finding Fieldwood came up.
Yeah, their loss, my gain, as it turns out. So it's funny how those things happen, isn't it? And then since then, you've looked at podcasting from so many different angles, actually, the way you're talking about it now. And one other thing that we did together really recently, and I think we can probably also say was another time that this became obsessive for us both, was the Love Island podcast this summer. And you stepped in as, well, in a number of roles, I think it's fair to say, but primarily as a content producer. But you also went out and did some interviewing as part of it. And, you know, really like supported me through the whole experience, as you do. But tell me a little bit about what that was like, because I do think it's fair to say it did become quite all consuming again.
Oh my God, completely. Well, first of all, when, you know, the opportunity to came up again for us to work together on this, I absolutely jumped at it. And it was so nice working together again, because it just, I don't know what it is, some people you just come across and you just work well with, don't you? And some people it's not so easy. I'd actually say the majority of people it can sometimes be, you know, you've got to work at it, whereas I always feel like our working relationship's very just so easy. And obviously I had to watch Love Island for, well, every single day for, was it 2 or 3 months? I feel like it's all bit of a blur. It was 3 months, wasn't it?
It was closer to 3 months with everything that we wrapped into it, from kind of prep to the actual show. Yeah.
So 3 months of watching Love Island, sometimes twice a day as well, just to make sure you had all the content and everything absolutely spot on. Yeah, it was pretty intense, but it was so much fun. And I have to admit, like, even though it was work, by the end of it, I just loved doing it so much. It was really, really enjoyable. So the way it would sort of work is the content producers would get the episode of Love Island a few hours before the public. We'd sort of go through everything that went through the show. We'd come up with scripts and themes to talk about, and then we'd give it to the presenters, and then they'd do their thing, and then it would go live by the next day. And it was amazing. It was a really, really great project to work on. And again, so many moving parts. I actually think, I mean, Jules, what do you reckon? Do you think that was harder to do than Finding Fieldwood?
I think they're both quite different, aside from the obsessive kind of aspect of it and the all-consuming aspect of it. Doing a podcast that was on a deadline and that had to be live every day, there's something quite frantic about that, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I think we probably did have a similar energy about Finding Fieldwood, but we had less of it was a deadline we were setting ourselves, as opposed to being there live in people's ears by, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's so true. But you know what? I honestly think us doing The Apprentice Qualified all those years before set us up for Love Island, because that, within itself, I can't name another podcast that was doing that back then. That was quite some time ago. So I feel like you can see now, looking back, now we're talking about it, how these things all thread through each other and how they kind of prepare you for that next big project, doesn't it? So yeah, it was definitely intense. But I think that's the thing. I think both of us work well under pressure. I think that maybe could be another thing why we work so well together.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So you've done, like I say, you've done podcasting from production aspect, from presenting aspect. What do you think then makes a good producer and a good presenter? And then, you know, we talked about some of the ways that people work best together as producer and presenter, but let's talk about that as well.
Okay, so from a presenter side, whenever I've had someone else as a producer like yourself, obviously, when I first started out podcasting, I didn't know how to do it. I was winging it, as most people are when they start podcasting. But I think you were always really good at reassuring people that they were doing a really good job. And, you know, with the intonation, I always remember some things we'd have to go over and over again. And there was never like a, oh, come on, Jade, hurry up. It was just, oh, I think maybe this is how you could say it. And I'd be like, oh, maybe that is how I could say it. And then eventually you'd sort of get it. And then I guess from the producing side then, I've just tried to emulate exactly what I learned from you, really. And it is those, well, first of all, knowing how your presenter is. That emotional intelligence is so, so important. Some people need to be told, look, this is what you need to do. And some people do need that softer, gentler approach. But, and also, you know, when you're writing the scripts, it's so important to actually know how your presenter would say something. Like when we were scripting for Kem and Ariel, it's just those tiny, tiny little tweaks on those words of how they would introduce themselves, how they'd interact with each other, which I think, you know, as a listener, a lot of people don't realize that there is a lot of production behind these things. It just sounds as if the presenters are really funny, when actually it's the producer that's really funny.
Or maybe in an ideal world, a combination of the two. That's always really useful, isn't it?
It's definitely a combination between the two. I think if you had a good producer and a really, you know, someone who does not feel comfortable presenting, there is only so much you can do, and vice versa. You know, if you didn't have a very good producer, if you had an amazing presenter, you don't want to feel like one person has got the whole brunt. It is a complete collaboration. And I just think that does, you know, you can feel it, and you can see it in radio shows, you can see it in podcasting, when there is that relationship with the producer and the presenter, for sure.
Looking at podcasting a bit more broadly then, what is it that you think makes a really good podcast? What there's a lot out there now, but what makes something like Finding Feel Good or the Love Island podcast, what makes it stand out from everything else that's out there?
That is the $1 million question, isn't it? Actually, yes. Don't it really is the $1 million question, because when you look at, for example, Joe Rogan's podcast, most people who are into podcasting know that he's always at the top, or I think maybe Stephen Bartlett's now at the top, isn't he? Or anyway, maybe those two people. And I think I have actually thought about it a lot. What is their secret ingredient? And I actually think the human voice projects authenticity more than anything else. Like, I think if you're listening to someone's voice and they're sad and you're alone with them, like you've got your AirPods in your ears, your headphones on, it's very unusual that you just have that one-on-one experience. You know, if you're watching TV, there's things going on around you, there's other people with you. Whereas a podcast, especially if you've got your headphones in, is so personal, and I personally can feel people's emotions very much so through the power of sound. So I think that authenticity, you know, if someone's being 100% themselves, that is what people can feel when they listen to a podcast and relate to. I mean, taking it to completely the other end of the spectrum, I listened to a podcast, Call Her Daddy. She's out there, but like when she speaks, she's 100% herself, and like I think you can feel as a listener there's like elements of her that you either want to be like, or you can resonate with, or that, you know, sometimes when you listen to things you think, oh, I hope they ask that question. I think people who are successful in podcasting are the people who ask those questions that people want to ask but then they probably wouldn't. So I think that, again, so taking it back to a producer's role, I think how a producer can help with that is helping the presenter overcome that fear of, should I ask that? Whereas if the producer says to the presenter, I think you should ask this, or maybe you steer them in a different direction, because you obviously don't want the interviewee to get to a point where they feel completely uncomfortable. I think, again, that collaboration is so important to get the most authentic audio, but also not make it go south like sometimes it can do.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because it does have this level of authenticity. You know, a good podcast does have this level of authenticity, but we're also talking about the production side of it. So it's kind of a really interesting mishmash of things that goes on when you do create a good podcast.
It's like walking that tightrope.
Yeah, exactly. I'm intrigued if that's what drew you to it originally, because you do have this sense of kind of wanting creativity and freedom in your life. There's a certain amount of structure, which is also really interesting to you. So do you think that's what got you into this audio podcasting radio world originally, or was it something else?
I love people and I love their stories and I also love talking. So my boyfriend, he's like not a talker at all. And sometimes I think he just thinks, why is she still talking? But I just find it so therapeutic.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
So I'm sure there is probably a deeper reason, and 100% the flexibility, the freedom, the creativity, the structure, all of that is 100% part of it. But I think from a completely like top level, obvious place, it is that I love to talk. I love like coming up with ideas and like just people. People are so interesting. It's amazing. And like, you know how I think, well, I'm generalizing here, but I think most people think they've got a story, but maybe it's just them that's got this weird story, whether it's about their life, their family's life. Like, I feel like everyone feels like in some ways their story's quite unique, which they are, but it's through podcasting you actually hear that everybody does have a story and everybody has got that timeline. You can sort of, I find it so fascinating seeing a person as how they are now and then threading it through and seeing those events within their life that has actually made them into that human being. And I think actually when you listen to a lot of podcasts, even though people's problems are different or their successes are very different, I think innately humans are very, very similar and are just looking for the same things, really.
You have a way of, and I mean this in like in a podcasting sense, but also just in life, you know, going about our lives and in a friend sense as well. You have a way of encouraging people to open up. They just share their stories with you. And it's fascinating to see because not everybody has that ability. I think it might be your openness yourself that encourages it, but you do have a way of getting to those stories. Maybe it's your enthusiasm, your genuine enthusiasm, like you say, to hear where they've come from and where they're going.
I do think sometimes I wish I could be less open, but it is just me. If someone asks me, I literally cannot lie. No, I'm not one of those people.
That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Hearing all of these things has been amazing. So let's just finish here if we can then with something for people who want to do some of the things that you've done, from the production to the presenting to the travel maybe. What kind of message or lesson could you pass on to people who are aspiring to be doing similar things to the things that you're doing?
I would just say be open and also don't let other people's opinions sway what you're doing. Like, podcasting is such a new career. It is so bizarre that to your parents who have maybe had desk jobs 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, they're not going to understand that what you actually do is a job sometimes. Like when I've said to people, oh, I pitched an idea, we got funding to go to Bali and record a podcast, or, oh yeah, it is my job to watch Love Island for 2 hours a day and then write a script. Like, of course, for somebody who's just been filling out Excel spreadsheets for 50 years of their life and then retiring, that does sound insane, but it is a job. It is, you get paid for it and there's flexibility and it, you know, you can actually have a job that's fun and One thing that always brings me back to this point is I remember sitting at my job that I really didn't like before I went on The Apprentice, and nobody would speak, which, as you will probably have gathered now, is like my idea of hell, just sat there looking at a screen, no talking all day. Like, oh my God, it was awful. And I remember sat at my desk, I'm typing, I'm sat next to a guy who literally every time I try and have some sort of human interaction with me, looks at me like I am Satan. And I remember looking out the window in Manchester and it was chucking it down, raining. I was just having one of those days where I was like, and I turned to him and said, is this it? Like, is this my life for the next 50 years? Probably longer now. No, 50 years. Anyway, well, maybe longer at that point. And I said, is this it? And he went, yep, this is real life. And I thought, oh God, I don't want this to be my real life. And you know what's even better about that conversation? It wasn't my real life. I wasn't supposed to be there. But if I'd have just listened to him, I would have shut up and just sat there and continued to fit into society's box. So I think, yeah, podcasting is amazing.
Well, I, for one, am glad that you didn't listen to him, because we wouldn't have met. Thank you so much, Jade. Thanks for sharing everything you've shared. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's been lovely.
Thank you so much, Jade, for being our guest on the Podcasting Playbook. And thank you for tuning in and getting to know a little bit more about the work we do. Don't forget to follow and review for more podcast episodes coming your way very, very soon. And before I go, I just want to take a minute here to let you know about something I'm really excited we're doing, the Pineapple Awards. We're all about investing in young people and supporting them as they get into the audio, podcasting and radio industries. So we've set up an annual opportunity to showcase the talent of young people. They'll get great prizes, real industry experience and the chance to network with the biggest bosses of the industry. And there are three categories: Best Producer, Best Editor and Best Creative Idea. The Pineapple Awards are supported by Leo Bites, Stella, House of Kalmar, Ice Cool Design and Audio Boom. The closing date is February 28th, 2023, and all the details are on the Pineapple website, so get entering now.